So today we start a brand new sugya. We are on Dav Zayin Amr Aleph today. We've seen this Gemara before, but we're going to take a new look at it again. This is the Adam Chashuv Gemara. So we're in Zayin Amr Aleph about, let's say, 15 lines into the page. We skipped over in Mekudashas Midin Eved Kenani, that whole din. We did the din Arev. We did the din Arev. We skipped over Eved Kenani, and then there's the case of Mekudeshes Midin Shneihem, Midin Arev and Midin Eved Kenani. But let's take a look about 15 lines down. Bayi Rava. First words online. Meshabin Nafshei. Bayi Rava. Rava asked the following shayla. Heilach manava akadesh ani lach mahu. What if the girl gives the guy money and says, "I'm going to be Mekudeshes to you"? She's giving him money. That's backwards. That's not the way it's supposed to work. So what's the din? Amr Marzutra Mishmed Rav Papa Mekudeshes. Marzutra says the name Rav Papa, it works. So the Gemara works with an assumption right now. Why would it work? Well, how does that possibly? The halacha is always that the guy has to give the girl money for kiddushin. Why would it work when the girl's giving the guy money for kiddushin? So the Gemara is making an assumption that the mechanism that's allowing this kiddushin to work is kinyan agav. How does kinyan agav work? I want to buy a lot of things from you. I want to buy a house, and I want to buy all the furniture. My in-laws were just looking yesterday. They were in my house yesterday. They were looking for homes in Florida to go and retire to, and we're sort of encouraging. Yeah, buy. And they're looking, and all the homes come furnished. Fully, not all of them, but many of them come fully furnished. So they're going to buy the house, and they're going to buy all of the furniture in the house. Now, how do you make a kinyan on a chair, let's say? Piece of furniture. How do you make a kinyan on a chair? You pick it up. You do a kinyan agba. How do you make a kinyan on all these things? You can do all sorts of kinyanim from a talitalin that you would normally do. So is that how they're going to do it? They're going to make a kinyan on each of these items. How do you make a kinyan on a house? So a house is karka. Karka is nikness b'kesef shtar b'chazaka. So what are they going to do? They're going to write a contract and they'll be called to the house with the deed or with some sort of a kinyan that works on a house. So they're going to do a separate kinyan on the house and then a separate kinyan on each of the items of furniture that are in the house. No, there's something called kinyan agav that you can make a kinyan on the karka. And that kinyan you're making on the karka not only works to give you the karka, it also works to allow you to acquire all the metaltalin that you want to be, that you want to be kona, agav, the karka. So it comes by way of the karka, by dint of the karka. Rabbi Willigan is shtar mechiras chametz, was very proud of the year that he came up with the word by dint, because there's no good English word for agav. So I think dint is the word he came up with, and one of his lawyers helped him come up with. So that's where we acquire the metaltalin by dint. I don't know what the word means. I know agav the karka. We acquire the metaltalin agav the karka. That's how it works. So the Gemara assumes, oh, what must be happening over here? The girl is giving the guy money and saying, now I am yours. Here, take this money. So now this money is yours, and I am yours. So what he's doing is, he's making a kinyan on the kesef, and agav the kesef, with that one kinyan on the kesef, he also becomes the proud owner of a brand new wife. That's the way it's working. That's what the Gemara seems to be assuming at first. And the Gemara says, that can't be what's happening over here, because that is backwards. You cannot say, oh, I'm going to pick up the chair in that house in Florida, and when I pick up the chair, I'll also become the proud owner of the house. No, it doesn't work that way. You got to make a kinyan on the karka, and then agav the karka, you become the owner of the metaltalin, not the reverse. It doesn't work in the reverse order. So the Gemara says, what seems to be happening over here is you are acquiring land, agav metaltalin, agav money. But we learned the Mishnah that kinyan agav works the exact opposite way. Nuchasim she'en leh machrayas, niknim nuchasim she'yesh leh machrayas, bekesef b'shtar b'chazaka. That you can acquire metaltalin agav land, not land agav metaltalin. So it's all off. How does this work? The guy is taking the money from the woman, so by dint of his acquisition of the money, he's also acquiring the isha. The isha is karka. The isha is a person. A person is hukash l'karka, is like karka. The money is metaltalin. The money is movable. So how could it be? Acquiring the money and now he's the owner of the karka? It's backwards. Doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Amrle mi savrta amrle agav? Who said anything about a kinyan agav over here? We weren't talking about a kinyan agav. You must have gotten the whole thing wrong. Hacha ba'adam chashuv askinan. Over here we're talking about a totally different issue. When the girl's giving the guy money, she's not saying, acquire this money and then I'll have the money you acquire me. Of course that would not work. No, we're talking about the case where the guy is an Adam Chashuv. And it would mean so much to her if he would accept her money. It would be such an honor for her if he would accept her money. So Agav, that he's not Agav, it's not Agav, it's that when he accepts her money, she gets so much hana, she chaps so much hana from that transaction. We gave the example of the woman who gives, right, it was the day before Derek Jeter got engaged. We gave the example of the woman who gives Derek Jeter a tie or something to wear, and he accepts it and he wears it at a press conference. And she's like, wow. Now, the tie may have cost her $50, $100, whatever it cost her, but she's getting more hana from the fact that he accepted it and he's wearing it. And he, wow, she could be mukadeshes with that hana that she's getting because such an important and chash of a person was willing to accept something from her. That is the hana. So, ba'adam chash raskin debay hana dukam akab matanamina gomer makani lenafsha. Now, we discussed being mukadesh nisha with hana several times already. Right, recall the fanai, schok the fanai. You're giving her some sort of hana'a that's not tangible, but it's hana'a, and you're mekadisha with that. That's not the part I want to focus on. Let's focus now on the hava mina. The hava mina was that this was all working midin kinyan agav. That it was all midin kinyan agav. That as he's acquiring the money, he acquires the woman also agav the money. And the Gemara immediately rejected that and said, no. That is not how agav works. It's when you acquire land, when you do a kinyan on karka, you get the metaltel in agav, the land. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, sheyesh lenachrayus, that when we talk about karka, mechasim sheyesh lenachrayus, what's the karka in this case? The girl is giving him money, saying, I want you to acquire the money and me also. So what's the karka? What's the nechasim sheyesh lenachrayus over here? So Rashi says, Adam hukash lekarkaos. People have the same status as karka. So, that we are, people are a l'resha sachuza. People are a avadim themselves are yerusha, just like karka is a yerusha. Great. So it's based on that drasha from a pasuk that a person is just like karka, and therefore they could be acquired. When you make a kinyan on them, you can also get nechasim she'en lamachrayos together with them. Great, fine. That's how it works. Now, says Tosus, wait a second. Is a person real like karka? Is that din true? When the Torah says that a person can go be Yerusha, like land can go be Yerusha, what kind of person are we talking about? An eved. That's not a person. A person go be Yerusha. Not every person is karka. Yeah, you know why an eved is like karka? Because you own an eved. Do you own your wife? No, we spent a good deal of time discussing that it's not ownership of a wife. It's chalos, kinyanisir, ishus, not ownership. Do you own other people? No, eved. By an eved, you have a din of ownership. So how could you say such a thing? That Adam hukash lekarkos, no, there's no rule that people are like karka. There's a rule that an eved is like karka. Tosus on top, pirush b'kuntrus, the Adam hukash lekarkos. Adam is like karka. Dichsiv is nachaltem asam lash sachuzo. B'kasha, tahu kruksiv be'eved. That pasuk's only true by an eved. Aval ben chorin lo iskish. We never compare a regular free person to karka. You know when we're going to compare a regular person to karka? When a person says, my value, I commit my value to the Beis HaMikdash, to Hagdish. So why do we compare him to karka in that sense? Because what does my value mean? My value means how much I would be worth if I were a slave. So it's always in the context of either an actual slave or someone who's comparing himself to a slave. or who's judging himself as a slave, it's only there that we say that a person is like karka. Outside of slavery, says Tosfos, you will not find in Shas that a person is like karka. Over here, we're dealing with Ishus over here. We're dealing with getting married. The woman's not a slave. So how can Rashi say, oh, the Gemara is saying that we're requiring over here nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayus agav nechasim sheyein lehem achrayus, and that's backwards. How can we say that? There is no nechasim sheyesh lehem achrayus over here. There is no karka over here. The woman's not karka. And he says not only that, even Eved itself is not so pashut. Ve'eved nami plukti perikam debab kama ikim karka ikim etalt lidani. Even Eved, it's a machlokas in Baba Kama. Whether an Eved has a din of karka or an Eved has a din of metaltin. So not so pashut at all. Says Tosos, v'nira delav dafka yesh lemachrayus, ala af kinami ein lemachrayus, lo matzinu metaltin l'niknin agav metaltin. Den chasm shein lemachrayus lo shayach bu agav. So Tosos' first tarts is very straightforward. Tosos says, it wouldn't change the pshat in our Gemara anyway. Let's assume the woman is metaltalin, the money is metaltalin, oh, it's all metaltalin. There is no karka here. Can you do a kinyan agav? Can I say here, I'm going to make a kinyan on this watch. Now, agav the watch that I'm going to make kinyan on, I also get the recorder. The recorder gets into a lot of shiur. I'm going to make a kinyan on the watch. Agav the watch, I also get the recorder. Kinyan agav doesn't work unless something is karka. So, okay, the way Rashi formulated it is, you can't acquire karka by making a kinyan on metaltalin. But you know what else you can't do? You can't acquire metaltalin by making kinyan on other metaltalin. The only way kinyan agav works is, if you make a kinyan on karka, together with the karka, you'll get metaltalin. That's the only way it works. So the way Rashi formulates it is, yeah, but by the Isha it seems backwards because you're making a kinyan on the Kesef and you're getting the Isha who's karka. And that doesn't make sense. So Tom says, yeah, so formulate the kasha like this. It doesn't make sense that you can make a kinyan on the Kesef and get the Isha who's metaltalin. It doesn't make a difference what she is. You can't make a kinyan on metaltalin and get anything other than the actual item you're making a kinyan on. So I could make a kinyan on the watch and you know what I'll get? The watch, that's it. I can't get anything else. I can't get a recorder, I can't get a person, and I can't get land. Doesn't make a difference. I can't get anything, because I'm only doing kinyan on metaltalin. That's how Tosfos understands, at least in his first approach. His second approach, he says, Yinam yesh lomar, dalchi kamar, al karach yishan niknas agav metaltalin, sadanami nikna agav metaltalin. He says that a woman is like karka, not in the sense that all people are like karka. He flatly rejects Rashi. There is no rule that all people are like karka. But the way to be kona and isha should be similar to the way one is kona karka. Why? Why should a person be kona and isha similar to how a person is kona karka? Because how do I know you could do kiddushin with kesef? The big rule in the first part, beginning of the first part of kiddushin, kicha kicha misteyafon. We learn kinyan kesef from how Avram Avinu acquired the Maris Machpelah, from acquiring land. Oh, so by Kiddush Aisha specifically, the modes of Kinyan should reflect those modes of Kinyan that work on land. But not like Rashi says that all people are land. People are not land. Avadim are land. People are not land. But Kiddush Aisha should mimic Kinyan on land. Why should Kiddush Aisha mimic Kinyan on land? Because we learn Kiddush Isha from Karka. And that really, you got to put this on the list. This tells us, if you're compiling a list of all the places where there seems to be some discussion, debate, something unclear about just how far we take that comparison between Karka and Kiddushin, between Kinyan of Stei Ephron and Kiddushin. Does it mean that everything that works on Karka also works by Isha? Or is it more of a partial comparison? No, that you, Kesef. It's only about Kesef, but not everything. Not that all Kinyanim work. Where do we have that? We have that all the way back on Gimel Amud Aleph when we were discussing Chalipin, where the Tosfos discussed whether we should say that, oh, if Kinyan Chalipin works on Karka, then Kinyan Chalipin has to work on Isha as well. That Kinyan Chalipin should work on Isha as well. Do we say that? That whatever works on Karka works on Isha? So that was the debate. That was the debate in the Rishonim over there. Is it whatever works on Karka works on Isha? Or is it, no, just Kesef? Kesef works on Karka, Kesef works on Isha. Kicha, Kicha only teaches Kesef. but it doesn't really link karka to kiddushin in any more meaningful way than just kesef alone. But be that as it may, just simple machlokas over here, Rashi and Tosfos, is simply, is a person like karka? Rashi, yes. Tosfos, no. A person is not like karka. Tosfos. Okay, we'll maybe get back into that Tosfos at a later date, but let's discuss a little bit about how we are magdir. What exactly is karka? How do we, Rav Soloveitchik said that there's sometimes we call karka karka, sometimes we call it nechasim she yesh lahem achrayas. It's also another word for karka. What's the other term we use? Karka, mechatazim, mechazim, jesh, mechazim, jesh, mechrayas, and mechubar and talish. Sometimes we call it mechubar. Mechubar means karka, and talish means that which is not karka. So different words, do they always mean the same thing? Sometimes something could be karka for one din, not for another din. So let's discuss a little bit about the geder of the din of karka. There is a concept in the Torah called the shvuas modu b'mitzas. What's Shavuos Modu B'Mitzvos? How does it work? What happens? Good. Daraisa or Darabana? Daraisa. Shavuos Modu B'Mitzvos Daraisa. I come to you and I say, Sammy, you owe me $1,000. You're like, I do not. I only owe you $500. So, first of all, I'm happy, then I get $500. But now, not only that, you have to take a shavua that you don't owe me the other $500. Midoraisa. Well, if you were to say, let's say Sammy were to say, I owe you nothing, zero. So then on a doraisa level, what's the halacha? I say he owes me, he says he doesn't. What's the halacha? It's pater. It has to be that way. Otherwise, I would say that to everybody. I'm just going to go over everybody. You owe me $1,000, you owe me $10,000, you owe me $1,000,000, you owe me $50,000. Obviously, and everyone will be like, no, I don't. My word against yours, I guess you got to pay. No, you can't, that can't be. So when you're kofar akol, if you deny everything, you owe zero. So why is modu b'mitzvos different? When you admit partially, so it makes it worse for you. Now we don't believe you. Now you have to pay the part that you admit, obviously. But the part that you denied, you're going to have to swear about. Midaraisa, you're going to have to swear about. So why do we assume that once you admit partially, it's possible, the Gemara says, that b'kulei boi d'lo dilei, you really wanted to admit to everything. You just don't have all $1,000. So you're like, look, I only have $500 to my name right now. I don't have $1,000. So as a way of like sort of stalling, a stall tactic, I'll admit to half of it. Or you really want to deny the whole thing because you'd rather not pay me anything. But that kind of chutzpah, a guy lent you $1,000 and you're going to say zero? He did nothing for you? So you feel like you got to throw him a bone. You got to give him something, some credit. You don't have that kind of chutzpah to, bakol mikol kol, deny everything. That he never did it. He lent you $1,000, everything? No one has that kind of chutzpah. So you're going to lie and you're going to say that it was less than it actually was. So once your modu b'mitzvos, we have like a feeling that probably there's more there. When there's smoke, there's fire. When you deny everything, there's no smoke. There's nothing. Yeah, admit to part of it. When there's smoke, there's fire. Shavuos modu b'mitzvos. It's in the Torah. Shavuos modu b'mitzvos. We darshan from Pesukim in the Torah that a person has to take a shavua when he's modu b'mitzvos. However, there's also a rule that ein nishba'in al hakarkaos. If I say, that house that you live in, it's mine. So I want it all back now. That house is now worth, I just found out, the house across the street from me sold for $825,000. Identical house to mine. Crazy. Awesome. So let's say I go to my neighbor and I say, that house that you live in, it's mine. I wouldn't mind being a millionaire. I'll take it. That house is mine. And he says, no. Remember, the deal was only the living room and dining room are yours. The rest of it is not yours. So he admits that I own the living room and the dining room. can he is he now chayiv to take a shvua on the rest? Halacha is no. Ein nishba in ala karkos. There's no shvua on karka. No shvua's modem mixes on karkos. Because shvua is only, the Gemara says in shvus, Bapetzia, elsewhere, that only bedavar amitaltel v'gufo mamam. Shvua has to be on something that's movable, you can pick up, you can move, and gufo mamon, and is itself mamon. Itself has, it doesn't have just representative value, it has actual value. It has real value. So for example, you can't take a shvua on an eved. You can't take a shvua on shtaros. Why not shtaros? I can say shtaros can be moved, they're movable. Why not shtaros? It's metaltal, but it's not gufo mamon. A shtar isn't actually, you know what a shtar is worth? It's worth the same amount as this piece of paper. But the shtar says, A owes B $10 million. Ooh, so now it's worth $10 million. No, but the paper is still just worth a piece of paper. But it's representative value. It's not actual value, it's representative value. So you don't take a shvur d'oraisa on shtaros, or on hegdish. You don't take a shvur d'oraisa. So if you look in the Rambam, in Toin V'nitan, Herak Hei, Halacha Aleph and Beis. Anyone have the Rambam? No, no one got it? Oh, someone got it? Okay, great, thank you. And you saved the place for me. Okay, Herak Hei, Halacha Aleph and Beis. So says the Rambam. Let's take Halacha Beis. The Rambam writes, Shtei Sados Machartali. You go over to a guy, you say, you sold me two fields. Okay. Guy says, lo mechartil loch ela achas. Not true. I only sold you one field. I did not sell you two fields. Shnei avadim o shnei shtaros yesh li biyadcha. You owe me two avadim or you owe me two shtaros. Ein lecha biyadi el shtar echad. O eved echad. No, I only owe you one. Hareza nishba heses. That you take what's called the shvuas heses, which is another word for a shvua midrabanan, meaning on a daraisa level, there is no chiyuv shvua. The chiyuv shvua is only on a drabanan level. Oh, something exciting is happening here. V'cheinim ta'an. Also, he has a taina, and he says, "Va'amar chotzer zu o eved ze o shtar ze sheyesh biyadcha shalihu v'ata mechartoli." That this field, this star, this something that you have, this eved that you have, it's mine. You sold it to me. I don't even know who you are. I don't know what you are talking about. Go away from me, you crazy man. Whether he brings an aid, he doesn't bring an aid, potter. There's no way he takes a shvuas hesis. On a daraisa level, he's totally, totally potter. Good. Those are very straightforward cases of actual land. There's no shvur d'oraisa on the modem b'miktsas of land, of eved, of hegdish, right? No shvur d'oraisa. Good, that's what we expect. Then comes along the Rambam and says, v'chein ha-chofer b'stei chavero boros shichnu ma'aros v'hivsida. I come home one day, and I go out to my backyard, and I see that in my backyard there are these two giant ditches dug in my backyard. They have totally destroyed my backyard. I can't let my kids go out and play there. They're going to fall into these giant ditches that are out there in my backyard. He's got to pay for that. You can't just go and destroy someone else's property. You got to pay for that. Bein shetano shechafar vu amar lo chafarti. O shetano shechafar shtei ma'aros vu amar lo chafarti ela echas. Ela echas. Says the Rambam, I come home one day and there are these two giant ditches in my backyard or front yard or living room for that matter. Let's take living room. There are two giant holes in the floor in my living room. I'm like, what happened over here? And my wife says, I don't know, I came home and I saw like this, but you know, the housekeeper was here today, so she did the laundry and she dug holes in the living room. So that's what she did today. I don't know why she did it, because you're not allowed to dig holes in other people's living rooms. That's not nice. So I call her up and I say, what did you do? You dug holes in my living room. She said, no, no, first I tried to translate it to Spanish or whatever. We get it. She said, no, didn't dig holes in your living room. I dug a hole in your living room. I only dug one. I don't know where the other one came from. I only dug one. So is that a Modeh B'Mitzvos case? Let's assume she's a Jewish Spanish lady. Is that a Modeh B'Mitzvos case? Modeh B'Mitzvos is, I say you owe me $1,000, you say you owe me $500. What am I saying? You've done significant damage to my living room. It's going to cost me $1,000, $500 to plug up each hole that you dug in my living room. She says, I only dug one hole in your living room. So I only owe you $500, not $1,000. Is that Modeh B'Mitzvos? Or do we say, no, this is on karka? If I say that I sold you, I bought two fields from you, and you say, no, you only bought one field, or I bought your house, you say, no, you only bought the living room. So that's not Modeh B'Mitzvos, because that's karka. There's no Modeh B'Mitzvos on karka. So what's this? Is this on money, or is this on karka? When I say you dug two holes in my living room, what am I asking you for? Am I asking you for a living room? Or am I asking you for money? That's money. When I say, oh, that house across the street, that's mine. It's mine. It's my house. Am I asking you for a house or am I asking you for money? House. So I understand when I say, look, that house across the street, that's my house. I like things that are worth $825,000. That's my house. And the guy says, no, only the living room and dining room are yours. I understand that's not a Modeh B'Mitzvos case because that's karka. I'm asking for land. You're saying that some of the land is mine. That's not Modeh B'Mitzvos. That's a Shavuos Hesis. That's not going to be a real Shavuos D'Oraisa. But when I say that you dug two holes in my living room, I'm not asking for a living room. I'm asking for money. You owe me $1,000. And when you say, no, I only dug one hole, what are you saying? That I owe you $500, not $1,000. That's Modeh B'Mitzvos, you would think. But that's not what the Rambam thinks. The Rambam says, Shavuos Hesis, only Shavuos Midrabanan. Yeah.
Let's say you're asking the person for the money to live in your house. And he says it's not your house, it's only your house.
Does it all depend on how you formulate your request? Or is it something real about, so let's try to be Magdir this. Exactly, good. So the Rambam seems to clearly understand, well, I shouldn't put words in the Rambam's mouth. What the Rambam told us is, I ask you about the two holes that are in my living room, you say you only dug one of them. The Rambam says, no Shavuah D'Oraisa. Why not? Why is there no Shavuah D'Oraisa? He doesn't say why not, but why not? You tell me why not. Why is there no Shavuah D'Oraisa? Why is this not a classic case of Modeh B'Mitzvos? Because it's about karka. And there's no Modeh B'Mitzvos on karka. Why does Rambam assume that there's no Modeh, that it's not a case of Modeh B'Mitzvos? Because even though I may be asking you for $1,000, but I'm claiming that you owe me $1,000 because of what you did to my karka. So since it's all about karka, it can't be a case of Modeh B'Mitzvos. It's a very, very great chiddush, because one could have argued, I'm asking for you to pay me money. So it seems that the Rambam holds that d'mei karka, hareyu kikarka. That when I'm asking for money due to karka, money that you owe me as a result of karka, same thing as asking for karka. And by karka, there's no din modeh B'Mitzvos. That's what it sounds like the Rambam is saying. Dimei karka is like karka. If you look at the Ravid over there, the Ravid says, Omer Avram, Nirin Dvarim Shetva'o Lemalo Sachaviros Ulahashvo Sachatzeros Avalim Tva'o Leshalem Pchaso Hareu Kishar Tvios Mama. Remarkable Ravid. Says the Ravid, I don't agree with the Rambam, but I don't fully disagree with the Rambam either. It's more moderate Ravid. The Ravid says, let's come to some sort of compromise over here. What exactly? I come home today, and I hope to God this doesn't happen, but let's say I come home today, and I find the two holes dug in my living room. what am I asking for? What's when I call the housekeeper up and I say, in a calm voice, what were you thinking when you were digging those holes in my, like, you know, what am I asking her for? What am I asking her for? How do I formulate it? So normally, let's say someone crashes into your car. What do you ask for? There are two ways to ask. You could say, fix my car. That's one thing you could ask for. Or, what's the other possibility? Pay me the money that you damaged my car. You damaged my car. It's $1,000 of damage. I want $1,000. It happens to be, if someone were to smash into my car, I don't really want them to fix my car. I'll take the $1,000. I don't care if my car has a few dents. Give me $1,000. I care less what my car looks like. As long as it drives. So there are two ways you could approach it. Fix my car or give me $1,000. What am I asking the housekeeper? Am I saying, fix my living room? Your husband, he's a contractor. Get him into my house. Make sure that that gets fixed. Or am I asking, give me money. I'm going to hire someone to fix my own living room, but give me the money. Says the Ravid, it's all in the formulation. If you say, if I call the housekeeper and I say, fix my living room from the two holes that you made in my living room, and she says, you're crazy, I would never make two holes in your living room, I only made one hole in your living room. So then there's no shvuah d'oraisa, because it's all about karka. I'm asking for her to fix my karka. She's saying she only did part of the damage on the karka. It's all a discussion about karka. It's not modem mitzvahs. But if I say, give me $1,000 to fix my living room, and she says, I'm only going to give you $500 because I only did half of the damage that you think I did. Well, then the whole conversation is about money. And then it's a real modem mitzvahs. So now she's chayav shvuah d'oraisa because it's all about money. That's how the Ravid understands. That it really depends on the case. Now what is this machlokas about? L'chora, this machlokas is one of the, it sounds like it's such a detail of a detail. You know, we're talking about shvuah, which is not really our topic over here. We're talking about shvuah, and you only take a shvuah on karka, on metaltel, not on karka. How do we define karka? And they're like half arguing. You know, in the case of you dug a hole in my, a detail of a detail. I would argue that this machlokas is one of the most yisodistic machlokas in all of Nezikin, and how Nezikin works. When you have to pay me for damage, what are you paying me for? Are you paying to restore the damage done, restore the item from the damage done? Or are you paying to compensate me for the damage? Difference between the two. Restoration or compensation? I gave the example of the car, right? You damaged my car. If I'm asking for restoration, what am I asking for? Fix the car. Oh, welcome back. Fix the car. If I'm asking for compensation, what am I asking for? Money. I don't care if you fix the car, just give me money. L'chora, that is exactly the machlokas Rambam and the Ravid. Shitas HaRambam is that I'm asking for restoration. Even when I'm asking for money, it's money for restoration. And it doesn't matter how I formulate it. You dug two holes in the ground. What do you have to do? You gotta fix the ground. So I'm asking for restoration of the ground. You're gonna pay me money. That money is to restore the karka to what it was. According to the Ravid, I'm asking for compensation. If that's in fact what I ask for. When I say give me money because you damaged me, I'm not asking you to restore the item to what it was. No, that's not my interest. You need to compensate me. You need to give me money. If I wanted you to restore the item to what it was, you know what I would say? Restore the item to what it was. I would ask for restoration. When I'm asking for money, I'm asking for compensation. For money. let's big nafkamina ladina. Let's say I drive a Rebbe car. That's what we used to call it, Rebbe car. I drive Rabbi Willick's Torah tank. Big car. It's climbed Mount Washington. Right? It has a whole history. And it's got dents all over the place. I happen to drive the opposite of a Rebbe car. I drive a car that I believe I'm the only white male you'll ever see driving my car. Probably cheaper than a Rebbe car. Okay. But it announces that I'm coming from far, far away. So the car is full of dents. It's got dents everywhere. The whole thing has dents everywhere. And you smack into it. So now it's got another dent. Mazel tov. So now it's got five dents instead of four dents. So as far as restoration, to fix that dent is going to cost, you take it to an auto body shop, and he says, where do I begin? Just that dent. I want you to work on that one. Say, even fixing just that dent is going to be $1,000, because auto body shops charge a lot of money to fix a dent. How much was my car worth before the dent was made, and how much is it worth after the dent was made? I would tell you, probably the same. Four dents, five dents. It's a smashed up car. It works. Someone who's interested in a car that works will buy it. Someone who's interested in a car that looks good won't buy it. It's worth roughly the same. Maybe a couple of dollars difference. But it's worth roughly the same. If the yeson of a chiyuv nezikin is restoration, what does the guy have to pay me who smashed my car? Who gave me that fifth dent? He's got to pay me whatever the auto body guy will say it costs to fix the dent. If the yesod of the chiyuv nezikin is he has to restore the damage done, he's going to have to pay $1,000 to fix that dent. Whole car is only worth $2,000. He's going to have to pay $1,000 to fix that dent. But if the yesod of the chiyuv nezikin is compensation, what did he damage me? How much did he cost me? How much did the car go down in value? Almost nothing. Compensation might be close to zero. That's a pretty big machlokas in how Nezikin works. I'm asking for money. What am I really asking for? Am I asking for money to restore my item, or am I asking for money? Compensate me for the item. This comes up in another place. And tomorrow we'll discuss the Raivin in more detail, but let's just close with this. There is a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis, talks about a guy that's being molech chavios of yayin. He's transporting barrels of wine. And he breaks one of the barrels. Okay, so what does he have to pay? He has to pay for what he broke. He broke one of the barrels of wine, so he's got to pay for that broken barrel. Now the thing about barrels of wine is that it used to be they had what was called a Yoma Deshuka, a day where people would go selling things. And that's when all the buyers would come to buy things. And on a Yoma Deshuka, wine had a certain value because you can go and sell it like immediately. But on a day that was not a Yoma Deshuka, it was not a day of the market, you pretty much couldn't sell the wine because there were no buyers available. So the wine's value was much, much less because no one's buying. How does pricing work? Supply and demand. On a Yom HaDeshuka, demand is high. On a day that's not a Yom HaDeshuka, there's no demand. The demand isn't there. So it's not worth as much on a Yom that's not a Yom HaDeshuka as it is on a Yom HaDeshuka. So Rashi, so I broke the barrel of wine. How much do I pay? I pay for the barrel of wine. Good. How do we evaluate how much it's worth? Do we look at its Yom HaDeshuka price? Or do we look at its today price? The non-Yom HaDeshuka price. So Rashi says, you pay like a Yom HaDeshuka. Um, That's if you're paying money. You pay how much money you would fetch on a Yom HaTeshuka. But let's say I'm not paying money. I'm giving you yayin. I'm giving you a barrel of wine. Can I just give you a barrel of wine regardless of Yom HaTeshuka, not Yom HaTeshuka? Just give, I broke a barrel, here's a barrel. I broke a barrel on a Yom HaTeshuka though. So can I give you a barrel on a non-Yom HaTeshuka and say, I broke a barrel, here's a barrel. Says Rashi, no. Says Rashi, you broke a barrel on a Yom HaTeshuka, you got to give back a barrel on a Yom HaTeshuka. And if you give it back on a non-Yom HaTeshuka, not good enough. Because it's not worth as much. You did X amount of money worth of damage. So you have to pay for that amount of money worth of damage. Comes along the Rambam. Hilchos Chiras Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel. And says the Rambam, I don't care if you pay back on a Yom HaTeshuka or on a non-Yom HaTeshuka. If you're going to give back a barrel of wine, you can give back a barrel of wine. It's always fine. You broke a barrel, give back a barrel. You give back the same exact item. That's perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with giving back a barrel of wine. What's the machlokas about? Why would Rashi think that if you're giving a barrel of wine back on a non-Yom HaTeshuka, you're not really giving back what you damaged, because it's not worth as much? Same machlokas. The Rambam understands that the yisod of chiyuvei nezikin, when you're paying back what you damaged, it is a chiyuv of restoration. I broke a barrel of wine, here's a barrel of wine. It is now restored. It's not compensation. If it were compensation, I'd owe you more, because today's not a Yom HaTeshuka. So I'm not compensating you with equal value. But the item itself, I'm restoring the item itself. I'm giving you back the exact item that I broke. Restoration. Rashi would say, no, you sold chiv nezikin, compensation. You got to give back the value of what you broke. Because it's all about value. It's all about the money. And it therefore turns out to be quite a beautiful lishitaso in the Rambam. The same Rambam that says in Toin Vinita, that when you dig two holes in my living room, and I say, hey, you dug two holes in my living room. You say, no, I only dug one hole in your living room. The Rambam says, that's not modem mixas. It's all about karka. Because the Rambam says, what am I asking for? I'm not asking for money. I'm asking, restore my karka. And even if I do ask for money, what I mean by that is, money to restore my karka. It's all restoration. That's the chiyuv nezikin. That same Rambam is going to say, by the barrel of wine, if I broke a barrel of wine in transport, what do I have to give you back? Not money, a barrel of wine. Why? Restoration. So we're going to, God willing, get to the Ravid tomorrow, and we're going to see, and the Magen Mishnah will describe the Ravid in greater detail, and we're going to see how our Gemara plays a huge role in understanding this machlokas further. So, Be'ezrat Hashem tomorrow. So the Mar Makomos from today, that's for tomorrow also.